And Board Member Kohler.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Well, thank you everybody for being here. Second thing on the agenda is approval of our October 9th minutes. Does anybody have any changes or verifications that need to be made?
I have just a few typos to point out. Page 3 of 6, about a quarter of the way down, Peck stated that I could go, possibly go to the Planning Commission. I think that should be it. Further down, maybe about 6, 7 lines up from the bottom, Peck asked for an amended motion from the chair. That should be from. And on page 4.
One sec, where was that? Right here. Got it.
Okay, next page, page 4. Not sure about this one. Under D, right in the middle, Green stated that there was a change to better preserve trees going forward in that development. Perhaps that was supposed to be Chance.
So,
yes. So Board Member Green is nodding yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
And very last one, page 6 of 6, just under 7A, Board Member Peck near the bottom. Peck needs to be capitalized. That's it. It is.
Yeah.
I move to approve the minutes as adjusted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mr. Chair, the motion passes.
Number 3 here, visitor communication. I don't think we have anybody for that.
I've seen none.
Going on to number 4, board business, a consideration of recommendation to remove declining ponderosa pine at 109 East St. Helens Avenue.
Okay, I can comment on that. This particular tree is on the corner, actually faces Elm Street. And the top 70 or 80% is dead. There are some green limbs at the very bottom, but this tree is not going to make it. There is no remedy to fix this situation. Like I said, there's a few green limbs, but it's not coming back. It is a right-of-way tree, and I recommend it should be removed.
And I think it's now 100%.
Right? 100%, okay.
That's quick.
Yeah.
Well, if it's dead, it's dead.
Yeah. So that's all I have to say about it. Yeah.
Looks dead to me.
Yeah.
Make a motion that we remove the tree at 109 East St. Helens Avenue.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Mr. Chair, the motion passes.
So board business B, consideration of recommendation to remove dead ponderosa pines in Creekside Campground.
Yeah, I'll be referring to two staff reports at once. The first one, there's a total of 6 different trees to be looked at. Two of them are dead. Two of them are stressed, and 4 of them are dead. And most of the dead ones are on the east side of the new playground equipment. They're kind of clumped together, and all these trees, every single one of them in this latest report, has a yellow X on them. The two stressed ones have just a yellow dot. I don't want to be conspicuous. I just put a yellow dot. But move, going back to the dead trees, they are 100% dead or nearly dead for all practical purposes. And there's something, I stressed this point before, it's near the dog play area on the eastern side of the park. And there seems to be some kind of insect or problem on the east side of the park. And this time it's getting closer to the new playground equipment. So there's three trees that are clumped together with the exception of one tree. It's by campsites 4 and 5 that is dead. And that all four of these trees should be removed. And then I noted two stress trees. One additional stress tree is by the west side of the new playground equipment, is marked by a yellow dot. And then the other stress tree is relatively easy to find because it's right next to the restrooms. So those should be monitored. They don't look good. However, they're alive with, you know, much of the foliage still intact. So I hope with the fall rains or maybe make it through the winter, I like to see these trees make it through and we'll assess as the winter and spring goes on. So this first staff report to recap, four dead ones and two stress trees.
Can I ask a question about
yes, that? Yes, absolutely.
Is the fourth one, I see three blue arrows. So is the fourth one directly behind that second arrow?
So we have three clumped together. They're marked with these blue arrows. Mm-hmm. But then, I don't know if you're familiar with the campground, there's a loop in the southwest portion. Mm-hmm. So on the very west near the entrance.
Okay, so that's referring to the one at campsite 4.
Yes. Okay, so this is by the entrance. And this is standing alone.
Because this one right here, I mean, there's one directly behind it. It looked just as dead. I'm not sure.
Oh, yes. There. Well, I think it's actually covered in this next report. Oh, so okay. It was a little frustrating because I discovered a few trees. And then Paul and Jackson made it aware that there's some more trees. So I made another inspection and found additional trees. So moving on to the next report. There's two dead ponderosa pines and two dead junipers. And once again, the dog play area seems to be a focus point of disease or some kind of problem. So one is obviously dead near the ODOT way station, and it's marked with a yellow X. And the other dead one is across the pavement, and it's actually clumped with the previous three that I was talking about with the blue arrows. So that might, you know, be confused with that clump. Mm-hmm. So in the previous report, there's the three clumped together, and this report has this one featured. So there's a total of four clumped together there. And then there's a juniper really close. It's dead close to the bridge on the south western part of the creek by the bridge. And then there's a dead juniper by the campsite. I think it's 58 or 57 and 58 is between those sites. So let's see, we have a total of six dead trees or dead ponderosas and two junipers and two trees to be observed throughout the park. So yeah, the park seems to have not had a good summer. So it's wise to monitor all the trees regardless of condition. And hopefully we have a nice fall with moisture, and I hope some of these trees recover.
Yeah, I think something's going through the park because we've lost a handful of trees the last few years in the park, including that big legacy tree that went down. So be curious to see what's the cause of that.
Yes.
And not really sure if there's anything we can do.
No, I was looking at this situation, especially by the dog play area. That's been going on for almost 8 or 9 years. So I can't identify it, you know, most likely bark beetle. And I know for a fact that, and I mentioned this before, and other trees all around town, whenever you see the trees that are tacked in the upper third of the bowl and the dead top, that's the Ips beetle. Mountain pine beetle and other species of pine beetle usually attack the entire tree. But in the park, I think there's a lot of dead tops. So that's isolated with that one particular species of beetle. And it's all over town, but the park seems to have it the most.
Some of these trees are irrigated that are dying too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's no rhyme or reason on do they got water, do they not?
Too much water?
I mean, less than what they've gotten for the last 40 years since irrigation went in there. So,
well, then that points the finger towards insects, you know, not necessarily water. I think it's water is a contributor, but insects can be a problem.
Yep.
As far as the dead junipers go, especially that one by the campsite, it's just stress, compaction. Maybe people dumping dishwater, who knows?
Awnings hitting it.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Do we need to make a motion for each individual staff report or clump them together?
Let's do it by agenda item.
Okay. But then if it's based off of the agenda item, then we will do them together. So let's see. The dead ones are dead. So we're at 6 ponderosa and 2 junipers. And 2 stressed ponderosas.
Yep.
Is that your motion? I second that.
Was that your motion?
I don't think it was.
Well, let's put it in a form of a motion.
Put it in the form of a motion. I recommend the removal of 6 dead ponderosa pines and 2 juniper and observe the 2 stressed ponderosas at Creekside Campground.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
May I bring up a related question here? This is directed, I guess, to you, Paul. When pondos go down like this, is there a plan to replace them either with other ponderosas or something, a diversification tree, or how does that, or is there a plan?
Not necessarily. It's case by case, for sure. We definitely don't want to put more trees in an area where there's already too many.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where 4 of these are coming out. There's actually too many trees in there. It's too dense. But can we plant additional ponderosas or trees in other areas? Absolutely. We did.
Okay, thank you.
So motion passed there. That completes board business. And on to other business, we have some guest speakers, Mike Oxidine and Brittany Oxford.
There's one more agenda item with a tree for parking.
That is other business.
Huh?
The one that Dan mentioned is other business.
I'm sorry, that is under other business.
Other business?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Correct. But moving on to guest speakers, we have Brittany online there, and do we have Mike and
Mike? Hi all, can you hear me?
No.
So Mike Oxendine actually is not going to be attending today, but he did share some resources with me that I can talk with you all about. You ready for me?
Yeah, we're ready for you.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me to join the City of Sisters Urban Forestry Board meeting today. Sorry, I sort of canceled on the last one. I had COVID, so a little bit difficult to do things at that point in time, but I'm appreciative of the being invited to this one. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Brittany Oxford. I'm a community assistance forester with the Oregon Department of Forestry's Urban and Community Forestry Program. And really briefly today, I just wanted to share with you some information that's coming up for some grant opportunities through our program, as well as some software tools that are free to use for cities or interested community partners. And as far as Mike Oxendine's resources that he shared, maybe Jackson, I could just share those with you in an email, because I don't know that I can speak to those.
Sure.
So from our program, we've been awarded $26.6 million in funding from the U.S. Forest Service's National Inflation Reduction Act grant program, and we'll be using up to stand up two subward programs in Oregon. $10 million of this funding will be devoted specifically to federally recognized tribes and tribal organizations, and then $12.5 million will be available to all eligible entities throughout Oregon, with the goal of promoting urban and community forestry investments and tree equity for overburdened and underserved communities in both rural and urban areas. So some eligible entities includes obviously federally recognized tribes, tribal organizations, but then also state and local government entities, public and state controlled institutions of higher education, not-for-profits, community-based organizations, and the Forest Service sort of defines what overburdened and underserved communities are, and they usually use the climate and economic justice screening tool to sort of identify eligible places for that funding. So requests for proposals for that to community partners will be issued in March 2024, and we're aiming to award the first round of funding in the fall of next year. And then in addition to that funding, we also have some state funding for the first time that's being awarded through House Bill 3409. So our program will be partnering with the Department of Land Conservation and Development to administer $6.5 million for community green infrastructure through that House bill, which is sort of monumental for us because it's the first time that state funding has been dedicated to urban and community forestry efforts throughout Oregon. As sort of similar with the Inflation Reduction Act funds, it's going to be focused on tree equity in, underserved communities. But there's a little bit more flexibility as how we define that since it's state funding versus federal funding. So more details to come on that as we set up that grant program with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And then lastly, I just wanted to make you all aware that we have an inventory tool that is free to use and sign up for called Tree Plotter. It's with Planet Geo, and it's just part of the statewide initiative that we have to sort of try to get an analysis of urban forestry throughout the state of Oregon and what that looks like. So if you're interested in learning more or signing up to use the free to use software tool, please reach out to our program. And we're also trying to make a canopy assessment tool available as well, which is a more sort of broader analysis tool. So those are my short updates. Any questions from you all?
You were a little hard to hear coming in and out with volume. Do you have any literature pamphlet that you could provide to us to where we can go over some of the dates and grant?
If my audio is not coming in super well, but yes, I will capture all of this and make sure to send that written form to Jackson as well.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, thank you for that info.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brittany, thanks for coming today.
I'm wondering if you have it handy in your mind, if you could briefly talk about Arbor Day and Tree City, because that's part of your
area. Yeah, thank you for asking that question. So I am the state administrator for the Arbor Day Foundation's programs, that's true. So the Tree City applications through the Arbor Day Foundation, there's a new portal this year for applications. So if the City of Sisters hasn't already started their application, I would recommend doing that. And applications are due December 15th, but if there's sort of things that need to get sent back to be adjusted, it's sort of nicer to have it earlier. That way we make sure to get all the recognition materials in time for Arbor Day next year. Yeah, is there any specific questions about that program and how I can support you there?
No, nothing specific. I didn't know if perhaps you knew of resources that we weren't aware of. Sisters has been a Tree City for a long time. So from what you just said, I wasn't sure if that's something that the City of Sisters formally applies for every year or...
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I think I misunderstood the question. So yes. Yeah, so the Arbor Day Foundation program, Sisters has been recognized for quite a bit of time. So thank you all for being participating partners in that. As far as the Arbor Day Foundation actually also received Inflation Reduction Act funding, but I'm not sure how they're going to be using that grant award. So I guess more to come on to light on that in the future. I just sort of approve the applications and send them off to that the Arbor Day Foundation for them to approve. So it's sort of like a step process here.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all for your time. And if you have additional questions for my program, please feel free to reach out and I'll make sure to follow up with Jackson on make sure all my things are written out for you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Brittany,
I have a question for you.
Oh, sure.
I first moved to Sisters about 17 years ago. There was a tour out in Camp Sherman on the Deschutes Land Trust property where they were doing studies on, you know, the growth of the forests and, you know, spacing of the trees. And are you involved in any of that kind of studying or are you familiar with that?
You know, I'm not. That doesn't sound familiar to me, but that might be someone else within Oregon Department of Forestry. For my personal experience, I've just been with ODF since last year. Before that, I was working with the City of Portland as an urban forester. And I work specifically in urban and community forestry. So it's sort of my own world right. That's maybe not doesn't touch that as much. But I could ask around ODF and other natural resource departments to see if they know anything about that project.
I think it'd be good for all of us to follow up on that because it was a very interesting study than a plan they were coming up with. And I'd be curious to see how that's fared over the years.
Yeah, I can put you in touch with a stewardship forester in your area who probably know more about the project that you're talking about.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Of course.
Well, thank you for your time. I don't think we have any more questions.
Okay. Thank you so much, all. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'm going through that. So other business B, update on monitored ponderosa pine at 1151 South Creekside Drive.
So a tree that we've been observing that's near the bridge by White Creekside Drive and White Shoes Creek. Last spring and winter, we were observing it and it's now died. And I guess Jackson went out and confirmed it's a private tree. When I first looked at it, I had concerns whether or not it'd be a right-of-way tree or a private tree based on the high watermark of the stream. It's right on the lip of what I think is the high watermark. So
I think regardless, well, it is a private tree, but regardless, I think there's going to be some technical work or technical considerations because it's close to the water and that stream bed. So, and then it's up to this private person to remove it. But this is something that, you know, I thought was a right-of-way tree, but it's private. But still, I don't know how much involvement there is because of the proximity of the water.
Enforcement at this point.
Okay.
Community, coming from the community development department to have the tree removed.
Okay. All right. So that was just an observation there.
Okay. So more to come on that. Other business C, staff report regarding concerned resident on Ponderosa Pine at 385 Washington.
Okay. I actually included pictures and a quick report for this one. It's basically, it's parking underneath this tree. The person who observed this felt that all the parking directly under the tree could compact the soil and hurt the tree, which is all true. However, I inspected the site. The tree is fine. It's a large Ponderosa pine. There's a lot of construction, and this problem may solve itself. There's a lot of construction on this particular street, and people work and park, and deliveries are made. So parking is a commodity, but once this work is all done, the people parking will just go away, and hopefully there'll be relief for this tree. If it continues to be a problem, perhaps there can be some temporary parking restrictions or seasonal park restrictions, like in the summertime when things are stressful for the tree, to just block off this particular area. But currently the tree is fine, but parking control could benefit. It's not mandatory, but it could benefit the tree.
How would we go about putting some of those regulations, or do we, I don't think we do anything on our end for that.
What I picture is like a flip sign or something temporary, seasonal, or if this construction is ongoing. I don't know if that's.
I know it's almost weathered in, that construction site.
Yeah, okay. It's not far from being a lot quieter down there.
Yeah, so it could solve itself. Yeah.
That's the last house to go in on that stretch.
So this definitely is a city tree, because
there's some wide, sometimes there's 80-foot right-of-ways in the city. Okay. But well, regardless of private or city,
it's a nice tree.
Could be shared, but regardless, I think that the situation will solve itself. The tree is fine. Once the workers, or you know, if we do continue to have a seasonal, like for summer events, that might be a problem. But I think we're fine.
Are they parking right under the tree?
Apparently, yes. They're getting close. So I was there on the off hours, but you know, construction workers were there. So I can imagine everybody showing up to work, and then a delivery, and then, you know, everybody squeezing into different spots.
We saw them parked right at drip line, which is probably still too close to a tree, but
yeah,
I don't think it's, unless you got a really small sedan, you're going to park underneath that tree.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, I think it could warrant some signage as well.
I was able to find the property pin for the corner of that property, and the property line runs right through the middle of the tree. But I've never seen anybody actually park underneath the branches. They're pretty low to the ground. It'd be hard to drive under them.
So do we want to see if it resolves itself? And then if it doesn't, address the...
Yeah, I think that's what I would recommend, is keep an eye, you know, observe it, keep an eye on it, especially during this construction phase. And then I think the next go around of
summer events, we should keep an eye on it for parking and other stress-related items.
If we see anybody parking under it, we can, we'll put up some signage.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, thank you for that. That finishes up other business. On the agenda six, board member comments. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to add?
Just curious, Paul, do we have any tamaracks in the nursery?
No.
No?
No conifers.
No conifers at all.
Yep, just the transplanting of them is difficult. High mortality rate.
Yeah.
As a follow-up to last meeting, I was hoping we could take a little bit of time somewhere, anywhere, right now, and just talk about, I still feel uncomfortable about that agenda item last time, because I just am not exactly, when I read like this management plan, I have one idea of what I'm doing here. And then, I was very uncomfortable with the vote last time because I wasn't sure if I was going against what I'm supposed to be doing or not. I'm just feeling like some more context about, you know, I understand that, you know, our charge is private trees and, but to like
public trees,
public trees, but like, to also maintain the urban forest, those were healthy trees. And I don't feel like I need to be an absolutist or anything either, but I think maybe a little, for me, some more context, or also some more thoughts, just what other thought people have, perspectives that people have that can help me feel like, you know, voting to remove healthy trees is part of what we do here. Because that's what I did vote for that because of all the reasons I did. You know, we don't need to rehash it. But I don't know. Maybe I need to be a little bit more absolutist. Because when I read the management plan, it does sound to me like this is our investment for this city. And, you know, I'm serving here as sort of the gatekeeper of, you know, of those healthy trees. So I don't know. I'm hoping, I don't want to spend too much time, but I was thinking just a little bit of time at, you know, sprinkled throughout our meetings. How do you guys feel after that vote last time? Do you feel okay about that? Or is there anything lingering for you?
That were the Pine Street?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're kind of here.
That was one of the more challenging ones that we've come across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to think of, like, we're here for, you know, city right-of-way trees. And then we don't come across individual plots with when they're asking to take down their own trees. That's on the code enforcement side. We do come across recommendations for, like, when Hayden Holmes came in, mm-hmm. their tree plan, you know, it's like, hey, do you think if we could try to save that tree, if you guys could take this tree and, you know, send it back to revision and move a road or, you know, stuff like that. So
that did come here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah. That was before the public tree code got reworked. So on the advice of legal, they wanted to get the urban forestry board and the public portion of the tree code out of the development code,
yeah.
and into the municipal code. At that point, it took the UFB basically off of private property, even new development, because technically that street wasn't a public right of way yet. It wasn't a platted subdivision. So what we were doing was not philosophically, I think it was a great thing to do. I think we saved a lot of trees.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Our legal was like, no, you shouldn't be going down this road. That's community development. That's private land use. with its own set of laws.
So we used to do that, but not anymore.
Okay. Don't expect it again. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So with Hayden Homes as an example, compares to this newest example, whenever I make recommendations, there are certain ways to do things, and I fully realize trees may have to be cut to implement whatever this person is doing. However, I challenge the developer or individual to go back to the drawing board and say, hey, look, and you know, if you remember this this situation on Pine, the drawing was not that good. I had to put in my own notes and send it back to him and say, hey, once you provide a better drawing, we can maybe compromise or suggest a few things. And another thing is, whenever I make a suggestion for thinning out trees, sometimes you can thin out lesser trees or suppress trees, even though it's a live tree, and the other trees will respond. And there's situations where I can, you know, I won't guarantee it, but you probably won't remember that tree 3 months from now. Mm-hmm. You know, the tree, I don't want to say landscape, but treescape will look the same or very, very similar. And those lesser trees won't be missed.
Mm-hmm. And we were brought into the school district property to look at their trees here several years ago. Yeah. And it was pretty interesting because of how many trees that were only 4 inches round, but they were 50, 60 years old because they were so densely packed in there. And once they thinned them out quite a bit, it really changed the look of that whole area. Yeah. Trying to make it a healthy environment.
I think what can help the board is to watch what city council and the planning commission are doing with the revised tree code language that's coming to them. Mm-hmm. I think planning commission this month, city council next month, I believe.
What I was thinking before the holiday, Christmas holiday.
On the 29th, tree code is coming to council.
November.
So with that, I would say it's more restrictive. I would say that it provides more oversight from the city on what tree can come down for what reason on private property. And it also implements a tree removal permit. So you have to come down and get a permit. So I think with that, that'll be another time to, I think, have community development come in and say, okay, this is the new set of rules and this is how we're going to implement them. And this is also how we're going to work our penalties or citations. Because if you do not have that permit, you will get fined and hopefully an amount that precludes people from cutting the tree anyway.
Just doing it, yeah.
Which is dangerous, you know, because that's that number means a lot of different people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Woodford came and talked to us about that.
Yeah.
And we had mixed opinions on that, but it sounds like it, the permits going forward? Or is that what the discussion is the 29th?
I'm sorry, you were talking.
No, I think it's in the draft language. Council did a workshop on it. The details of the permit have not been worked out yet.
So on the 29th, you'll see, I expect, sort of a final iteration of what has been bought, and council will then have a chance to look at it, ask questions, potentially revise it, probably not, it depends.
Yeah.
But it'll be done revised before, and then council will vote as to whether or not to accept it, and then once the council acceptance, which most typically happens at that point in time, then some of the finer pieces would then move into the municipal code and have enforcement capability as opposed to be in the development code. Okay.
And with that, they heard you guys. I think one of the issues was, do you need an arborist report for every single permit? And I think there's language that they're crafting to further define when you need an arborist report and when you don't. So.
It is kind of an interesting project because it in my mind and in Dave Moyer's mind, it was like, well, you bought the house, you own the property, you own everything on the property. What right does the city have to tell you you can't take down a tree? That it's kind of like eminent domain, retrospective or reversed or something to that effect. It's pretty interesting, the challenge of that. And I don't know what the municipal code allows you to do, you know, what the laws are, you know, but yeah, it's, but I prefer they keep the trees, you know, but if, well, like I say, I've become an owner of a lot of trees in some of the bigger subdivisions that people have that were right over their house that they just for fire safety, they wanted them removed, you know? So it's.
Well, any of us are capable of submitting an email to the city council prior to November 29th. And it will be received by the city council and considered and by Scott Woodford and his staff. And also I would imagine that there'll be public comment that evening.
Sometimes not, but you hope there's always public comment when you have something like this.
I would think so.
The availability of it will.
Yeah.
The availability will be there. I mean, it's, in my experience, if it rises to the level of a lot of angst, we'll have plenty of public comment. If it doesn't, we may not have any, but we may get it after we enact it with saying, well, you never gave us a chance to discuss it. So it's sort of a circular discussion at some point in time. But yeah, I always welcome public comment on anything that we're voting on. I think it's good for us to know.
Yep.
And the best way, I really want to iterate what you said, nothing wrong with coming speaking at council, but also writing a letter ahead of time. We all get those prior to the council meeting. Carrie's very good at getting them to us, and they all go into the written record. So it's there. You lose nothing by writing a letter, and you might even be able to put a little bit more in it than you have in your 3 minutes standing at the podium. So keep that in mind too.
And you can always come to the meeting and then read your letter because the people in the audience haven't heard what you had to say. And also thank you, Carrie, and whoever else is responsible. This matter is in the newsletter for the city that just came out today, which I think is so important, whether it's municipal tree code or any other kind of code changes. If there's some, maybe several angles that people might hear about an issue that they do care about, that's really valuable. So thank you.
Carrie, when would you like to see any letters or written comment?
Anytime prior to the 29th, before 3 o'clock on the 29th is best.
Okay.
And that full code and ordinance will be released no later than Thursday at 5 this week for public notice. So you'll see it well in advance of the meeting.
The holiday next week kind of follows up our normal time. Usually we'll be a little bit closer to it, but it will be on the 29th.
Does that help?
It does. Thanks.
And I think all of us are in agreement that it's not fun to have to take a perfectly healthy, live, beautiful pine tree out.
Yeah.
Just
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I'm not going to be comfortable every decision.
I don't think any of us are. But, yeah.
Yeah. I think going back to that specific example, it would have been easier for me to vote differently if he wasn't as far along down the road with permits and construction and everything like that. Just, I didn't feel that the threshold for me to say absolutely not reached the level for him to have to go back and resubmit.
Agreed.
Is what it boiled down to me for that specific situation. Yeah. Would it be explained different? I might vote different next time, probably. You know, but based off of the information that was given and how he wanted to use it for his solar charging power, then that's
That's how it went.
Thanks.
Did that go before council?
No. I talked about it at the council meeting. Mm. During council comments, we discuss
any of the meetings we've been at, what the topics were, and what was sort of some of the decisions. It really depends on the topic and what's happening, and each of us does it a little differently. We have one counselor who almost reads the minutes of the meetings, and other counselors who kind of give the 10,000-foot overview and go from there.
Right.
Also depends on how tired we are at that point.
And I got notes for the day.
There you go.
Well, hopefully that answered a few questions.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.
Does anybody have anything else?
Nope. Just it's real painful to approve these trees to be removed. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, maybe we can sprinkle dust, fairy dust over them or something to keep them alive. But it'd be nice if we could come up with something to battle the beetles.
Yeah.
How about the home stones?
Yeah. Maybe the Beach Boys.
All right, so meeting's adjourned 3:47.
Chairman.